The Names, How a Poet Laureate Remembers Those Lost on 9/11. You're listening to The Wrap from Central Florida Public Media. I'm Brendan Byrne. It's been 25 years since the 9/11 terrorist attacks. In 2022, then-Poet Laureate Billy Collins was asked to write a commemorative poem for a special joint session of Congress marking 1 year since September 11th.
In the morning, I walked out barefoot among thousands of flowers, heavy with dew, like the eyes of tears, and each had a name, Fiore, inscribed on a yellow petal, then Gonzalez and Han, Ishikawa and Jenkins.
His poem, The Names, reflects on that somber moment as it weaves in the names of those killed. A conversation with poet Billy Collins on remembrance and healing through art. That's ahead on The Wrap, the big stories this week from Central Florida Public Media. But first, these headlines. The Orange County School Board is moving forward with a $500 million increase in its overall budget, even as declining enrollment is forcing cuts to some school budgets and the district is spending more on private school vouchers. As Central Florida Public Media's education reporter Kaylee Kissel reports, the board unanimously approved a $7.9 billion budget this week.
The enrollment decline is hitting elementary schools the hardest, with funding for elementary schools down nearly $42 million from last year. OCPS is also budgeting about $33 million more for private school vouchers this year as more students leave the district for other education options. Teachers say they're already feeling the strain, like Asma Almani, who told the board she has classes packed with up to 39 students.
Now I have to go beg for money. Put your money where your mouths are. Show us you care, because words don't pay bills or medical care or things that are needed in the classroom.
And for the first time since the 2008 recession, OCPS plans to use tax anticipation notes, or TANs, borrowing up to $250 million to cover expenses before property tax revenue comes in. Board member Maria Salamanca says the district needs a more stable way to fund teacher salaries.
It makes me super anxious to have anything like this. It's like having a credit line on your day-to-day expenses.
Looking ahead, the superintendent and board members raised concerns about the district's reliance on a special property tax that's up for renewal on the November ballot. It brings in about $255 in support of teacher salaries. For now, the district says the budget will fund its schools and ongoing operations while it manages declining enrollment, rising costs, and major capital needs. Kayla Kissel, Central Florida Public Media.
Space Florida says it's ready to compete for the headquarters of a U.S. Space Academy. President Donald Trump proposed the NASA-led academy last month. Its goal is to train the next generation of professionals for the Space Force, NASA, and commercial space industry. No location has been selected. Space Florida's CEO Rob Long says the state agency is ready to make the case for the Sunshine State once the White House releases the requirements.
We know that Florida would be a number one choice for a U.S. Space Academy, just given Florida's ecosystem, whether that's the university system, the amount of space activity going on. You can imagine having a student at a U.S. Space Commanding looking out their, window and seeing launches in the background.
A presidential commission has been tapped to make the selection, although Trump indicated he would personally decide where it would go. Senator Ashley Moody, who is running for re-election, announced plans to file legislation that would bring the Space Academy to Florida. This week marks the peak of the Atlantic Basin hurricane season. Meteorologist Andrew Wolfick from the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network says that even though it has been a quiet season so far, it's not time to let your guard down just yet.
Despite warm waters across the Atlantic Basin, a strengthening El Nino has halted any type of major tropical cyclone activity this hurricane season. So far, there have only been five named storms, but none have reached hurricane status. If this trend continues, the 2026 season would set a modern-day record for inactivity. Over the coming weeks, meteorologists will pay close attention to the Gulf, Caribbean, and Western Atlantic. These regions are climatologically favored for development later in the season. The next named storm will be Fay, but there are no indications that it will form anytime soon.
Hurricane season runs through the end of November, and despite less favorable conditions for tropical systems late in the season, there have been hurricane strikes along the Florida coastline as late as November 21st. These stories and more on our website. Visit cfpublic.org. And while it has been a quiet Atlantic hurricane season so far, in West Volusia County, some residents are still reeling from storms of the not-so-distant past.
What they said was it was an act of God. It was nature. So that's not an act of nature. The rain was. But you putting a pipe and flooding my property, that's not an act of nature.
They're suing over what they believe are unlawful stormwater management permits. That story online. Visit cfpublic.org. It's been 25 years since the 9/11 terrorist attacks. In 2002, then-poet laureate Billy Collins was asked to write a commemorative poem for a special joint session of Congress marking 1 year since September 11th. His poem, The Names, reflects on that somber moment and weaves in the names of those killed. At first, he had doubts that his work could even match the enormous responsibility of remembering those lost. Collins spoke with Central Florida Public Media's Spotlight host, Nicole Darden Creston, on how he approached such an incredibly difficult assignment and what he hopes people take away from his poem more than two decades later.
I figured out two things that enabled me to write it. One was I picked the genre of the elegy, so I made it a poem for the dead, not a poem about geopolitical affairs, etc. And the other thing is I thought I could use the names of some of the dead alphabetically to get me through the poem. So I had two restraints, and as you know, sometimes restraints lead to creativity. Yes. So I got up and wrote the poem pretty quickly.
I saw footage of you delivering that poem to the joint session of Congress. You see a young Chuck Schumer and a John McCain sitting at attention, and you could hear a pin drop in that room. There was a united sense of the weight of the moment. How did that feel to you?
Weighty. I mean, before I read my poem to this joint session of Congress, there were a number of other speakers, of course. But what they had in common was they were talking political language, so a kind of, not to demean their talk, but it wasn't poetry. We were talking about freedom, about surviving, the strength of America, etc. I got up and read my poem. The beginning of the poem begins, like many poems do, with imagery. I'm lying there, so it's a very personal poem in a way. I'm lying there in the middle of the night, in the palm of the night, and it's raining out, and there's a glaze on the windows, and there's a wind, or a little wind. Well, the people in Congress were cocking their heads like border collies because it's like, what is this? What is this? Political language does not begin with the moon and wind. And
true.
But I was using what I was doing poetry talk. We talk in images. But at that point, a number of them figured out, well, it's a poem. And then you put it very nicely. It appeared to me that some of them immediately lost interest because it was a poem, and others were pretty riveted, especially Pat Moynihan. So it was a different kind of language. But I think once the poem got traction, most people were with it.
It certainly seemed so.
Yeah.
Besides the obvious that we are marking the 25th anniversary, if you will, of this happening, do you think that there is something that we can learn from this commemoration? Do you think that there is some reflection that this can assist us in having?
Yeah, I wonder. It's one of those big and subjective questions that you'd have to take a poll in a way to get the honest answer.
Well, what would you like people to take away?
Well, one of the lessons that might be repeated here that was an immediate result of 9/11 was the lesson that poets have been ringing this bell ever since poetry began. And the bell is the bell of carpe diem, of seizing the day. We don't have much time. Our ground time will be brief, as one poet say, echoing the airline announcement. I remember a couple saying, we were going to get married like next year or something, and we're going to get married next month. So a lesson in the perishability of life.
That was former poet laureate Billy Collins speaking with Central Florida Public Media's Nicole Darden Creston. Hear more from Collins on Spotlight. Get it where you get this podcast. That's it for the wrap this week. This podcast is produced by Central Florida Public Media with editorial assistance from News Director LaToya Dennis. I'm Brendan Byrne. This is The Wrap.